five, four, three, two.
So night two started off with Brock Lesnar and Omos, that match. It was not great. Nope. It was supposed to be the battle of the Ugandan giant Omos, 7'3", 410 pounds against the beast Brock Lesnar.
It's what I expected, to be honest.
I was going to say it was what it was. It's kind of just like, I mean, you can't really expect much from it.
Brock Lesnar, if you listen to this, it was a phenomenal match. You did fantastic.
I'm not afraid of you. Yes, I am. Yes, it was phenomenal.
I'm terrified of that, man. Yeah. You did amazing. Yeah. It's the best match you've ever had, but it's exactly what I expected.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar, at this point in his career, I actually really like him.
Yeah.
I think he caught a lot of flack because he's an attraction at this point. You know, if you're on the card and you're on the card with Brock Lesnar, like, that's the push.
Yeah.
Like, you could go and have a shit match. But the fact that you're with Brock Lesnar is enough.
Yeah.
And when he came back in 2012, all the times he would win like a universal title, a WWE title, I think he caught a lot of flack because he wasn't full time. He would win the belt and then he would go off and you wouldn't see him until the next big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I think he caught a lot of flack for that because it's like he's a part-time champion. The champ should be on TV every week kind of thing. And they're like, they keep putting it on him. And it like, why do they keep doing it? And then he hit a spot to where he kind of just was on his own and just got to a point to where he's now in his career. He kind of just does whatever he wants. Yeah. And it's entertaining as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great.
Yeah.
And I really like him now.
Mm-hmm.
But this match was basically on the strength of it being a Brock Lesnar match.
I don't think anyone was anticipating this match.
No.
It seemed like a very, it was very much a, who's the biggest guy? Who's the guy that could conceivably, quote unquote, beat Brock and like toss him around and then have Brock come back and do his, you know, and really cement himself as the beast.
Yeah.
Omos. But the thing is, you get him in the ring together. Brock is more experienced, but you can't really trust him to really carry a match with this guy who Omos is still green and is still limited in what he can do. Mm-hmm. MVP is his mouthpiece is great, but like, because MVP is great.
Yeah.
But essentially what it was Omos, it's just the Ugandan giant, does what nobody else could have. He tosses Brock Lesnar around, but essentially it just ends with, you know, Omos puts in all this offense, but then Brock Lesnar doesn't have to do as much. Yeah. We just want to see Brock hit the F5 and a few suplexes on this huge, massive man, and that's all people
want. You can't
to
move
see.
Me around, and then he gets to the match, and he puts him on his shoulders, F5s him, does German suplexes, and it's Brock Lesnar being Brock Lesnar. Yeah.
Whatever.
I did have Omos winning this match, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Which is one of those things to where I'm not like scratching my head, like, what booking sense does that make? It's like,
It's Brock Lesnar.
That's what it is. Like Jeff said, nobody was anticipating this match.
No.
You can build it up as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was anticipating it.
Yeah.
The next one was the Women's Showcase tag match, which had Natty Neidhart and Shotzi Blackheart, or Natty Neidhart, Shotzi Blackheart.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, and then Chelsea Green and
Sonya Deville,
who were kind of, they were the ones who were thrown together.
Because
for the past few weeks, Chelsea Green's just been trying to find a partner to get onto WrestleMania.
It was supposed to be Chelsea Green and Carmella. And Carmella's injured, apparently.
Like legit injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't as fun as the men's.
Yeah.
It like the men's, it had its moment to where these are kind of hard to do, but each, you know, women had had moments.
Sure.
And it's all, most everybody are solid workers. And Shayna and Ronda won.
And they're like in my opinion, they're the only legitimate tag team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it also made sense that they won.
Yeah. And you also now you have, I mean, I picked Raquel and Liv because Liv,
yeah,
you know, had a good, she's had a great showing the last year. Yeah. Raquel
she's
Rodriguez
worked her ass off to get a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Raquel Rodriguez, pound for pound, is probably the strongest woman on the roster.
She has a good look too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got a great look. So the two of them together, you know, small wrestler, big wrestler, can throw each other or you know, Raquel, part of their offense is she throws Liv around.
Yeah.
Liv's got a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. Raquel's got a great baby face look. Mm-hmm. So it's something I was like, they could win, but it does make sense. Formidable tag team, Shayna and Ronda, two legit badasses.
Yeah.
And now you have a heel team.
Because it
was for the women's, a chance of the women's tag titles, and now you have a heel team to face Becky and Lita.
Ronda and Shayna also have an actual history together, whereas the other teams, as fun as it was, or as fine as it was, fun or fine,
it was fun, fine.
Mm-hmm. They were just, all the other teams were just kind of put together, and then there was just, in the ensuing couple months, maybe weeks, they just tried to put them on TV to be like, hey, they're a team kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was, I thought it was just okay.
No, it was fine.
Yeah. They all looked, there wasn't anything glaring.
Everyone had a chance to shine.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's all you can really do in these matches.
Every team got a chance to do something, which is all that you ask in matches like this, where you're just going to get as many people on the card. The next match, holy shit.
This was my match of the weekend.
This is, outside of the main event, despite the ending of it, this was the match of the night.
This is exactly what I expected from this.
Gunther, IC champion, who is just powerhouse badass.
Yeah.
Sheamus, consistent workhorse. Drew McIntyre, badass workhorse, all fighting for the Intercontinental Championship, and it made the belt mean something.
As one of my favorites, Big E says, big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah, baby.
That these two,
JR would say, a slobber knocker.
Yeah, the thing is, it didn't need a lot of like carrying moves, lifting moves. It was a smash mouth brawling.
These guys were going to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
This is a match that anyone listening to this is listening to three guys who know that professional wrestling is a predetermined event.
Yeah.
None of us look at it and say, these guys are really trying to go out there to beat each other up.
Like, they're working together to put on a show, and they're trying, the goal is to protect each other while also trying to make it look like to the audience that they're beating the shit out of each other.
So, you know, like, I've been watching wrestling since I was 8. I've been watching it for 25 years.
Yeah.
You guys have been watching it for 19 years.
19 almost 20 years. Yeah.
19 almost 20 years. We get how it goes.
Totally.
But this match, if anyone at this point in my life were to come up to me and say, wrestling's fake, why do you like it? It's fake. I would say it's not fake, and I would show them this match because these guys are legitimately hitting each other, and you see the impact on their chests. You see their chests getting red and bruising up, and it's just a hard-hitting match that's just so fun to watch.
Within the context of what wrestling is, these guys are going so close to the line of actually beating the shit out of each other because that's what their styles lend to. And that was mutually agreed upon. Mm-hmm. No one is taking liberties and going into business for themselves. That's who these characters are. Gunther, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus. Mm-hmm. They're tough sons of bitches and hard hitting guys. And that's what you expected from this match.
Mm-hmm.
And it delivered.
It was an unbelievable knockdown, drag out brawl.
Yeah.
And multi-man matches, like I just said, you know, not just with four women or four men, you know, eight people tag teams, just as a whole, multi-people matches are tough to do, mm-hmm. but triple threat matches are the ones that you can expect to kind of be the best out of all those, because it's a simple thing of somehow get one of the people out to make it one-on-one, and then you have the flow of, you know,
there's a format to
any combination of these people, and then you also get the third person coming in, breaking up pins, doing these crazy feats of strengthening, doing all these things. There's a strategy and a template to where you can kind of go about it, but in this way, they made it to where you ask, like Jesus, those are live rounds, or they're throwing potatoes and blood. And like you said, everybody agreed upon it, but it's just, I think the crowd's reaction, because the crowd came alive, and I think it's because they kind of conserved their energy through the first two matches, because they weren't great.
The announce team was good,
Michael
too.
Cole sold it huge. It was given a lot of time. I think we mentioned earlier that the benefit of having two nights. If we've mentioned on here yet, or we just mentioned to each other, everything is given time.
Yeah.
So like this on a 10-hour WrestleMania show
wouldn't be as good. Oh, I don't think it would have been as good.
I would have probably fallen asleep. Not for lack of quality, just being exhausted.
It would have been a couple spots from some of the guys. You know, someone's laid out, maybe there's a table spot or something like that on the outside, and then they just rush to the finish. And I had Gunter winning. I think,
and he did.
He's such a versatile performer, and he's been put over huge. He lasted an hour and 11 minutes in the Royal Rumble. That was a testament to how highly they view him. And I just thought, like, he hasn't been pinned yet. And so that they're kind of running with that. And so there's too much that makes him to me the strong favorite to win the match.
Two stalwarts and Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, and then Gunther, who they're treating as this force to be reckoned with, like they did in NXT UK.
I hope, gets pushed to the main event. We'll get to it. Maybe we'll get to who we hope dethrones the champion at that match. But yes, Gunther, I didn't have him winning. My only disappointment was I was hoping Sheamus would win the Intercontinental title, because it's the only belt he has not won in the WWE. I thought that would have been a very emotional story. I'm a sucker for the emotional stories, folks.
Of course.
So that was my only disappointment, but just my match of the weekend.
It
My
was
favorite.
So good. It was fantastic. Delivered. Ending was, I mean, it was a great ending.
Yeah.
No matter who you had winning, the crowd was into it. Yeah. And Michael Cole and Corey Graves sold it.
Yeah.
Even Titus O'Neil was much better as a guest commentator tonight on that match.
Yeah.
I guess.
Comparatively to the night before. Yes. Next match, Bianca Belair, who's a superstar. Well, both women are. Versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship.
Is such a consummate babyface champion, role model to young girls all around the world. Because we've been to shows where she's on the card, and just the pure excitement of the little girls in the audience. Like, and then her entrance had this dance team of little girls that she just, when she the way she interacted with them, and she's been consummate fighting champion,
great representative,
and she's a freak athlete, and she's fucking good.
And I think I said Raquel is pound for pound the strongest one on the roster.
I think Bianca is.
Raquel is a very close second, but Bianca is has a freak strength.
She is a superstar, and Asuka is no slouch either.
Asuka is my favorite current WWE female wrestler. I had Bianca winning this, but I would be lying if I said a part of me wasn't hoping Asuka was gonna win, just because she is my favorite.
I did have Asuka. The thing is, Asuka did something that it's tough for especially Japanese wrestlers to do, especially Japanese wrestlers who don't know a ton of English,
and I don't see anything wrong with that, but sometimes it makes it harder to connect with the crowd. Asuka is so charismatic. Her physical motions, her, you know, the way she gesticulates sometimes, the way, you know, her facials, and plus her just character. Her character work makes her appealing to the crowd, and she's so different that, like, people love her and she doesn't have to say much in English,
yeah,
except like, I want to face you, or calling out so-and-so, yeah, and all this. But she's just always, she set herself apart yeah, ever since she debuted in NXT. Mm-hmm. She has the Kabuki mask. She comes out cool music. She, yeah, she does all this dancing stuff with her entrance. She added, you know, the mist that like Tajiri would use, great Muda would use.
Great Huda?
Yes, exactly. And
Huda and the Blowfish?
Yeah, she gets herself over because of her appeal to the crowd, because of how much personality and charisma she has. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's reason she's your favorite, and she's a dynamite worker.
She's, in my opinion, she's the best female mm-hmm. wrestler mm-hmm. in WWE. Yeah, she's just great.
She's awesome.
It wouldn't be fair to compare this to the Rhea Charlotte match, because no. if you were to decide to do that, Rhea and Charlotte was better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I choose not to do that because this was a great match, a really good match. And these two, you can kind of tell
mm-hmm.
when two people don't have chemistry, yeah, and these two worked really well together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, there wasn't a whole lot of like I see what they're yeah. trying to do there, and they just couldn't execute mm-hmm. the spot mm-hmm. or whatever. I thought these two worked really well together, and it was a good match.
Yeah.
Not to sound like a broken record, but it was a good match.
I think the builds between this match and the Rhea Charlotte are just different.
Yeah, it's just different. It's apples and oranges.
With Rhea winning the Rumble, there's just a clearly different story that they built with that.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it was two friends with Bianca and Asuka. You know, they had been tagging a little bit to take on Damage Control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So two friends. Asuka comes out. She starts to try and play mind games with Bianca because, you know, the goal of any WWE wrestler,
mm-hmm.
You know, they say on camera, the goal of any competitor should be to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So Asuka is one of the best. She comes out, wants to be the best, has to take on the champion. So, yeah, it's just two different. You can't compare them just because yeah. it's two different.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be fair.
Two different yeah. things.
It was a fine match. I think it was yeah. a very good middle of the card match.
Yeah.
Two great workers, two yeah. likable workers.
Yeah.
A couple missteps here and there, implementing the right. mist. I think yeah. there was maybe a little bit of a yeah. misstep in there. However, however, it was fine.
Yeah,
Bianca won.
Yeah, I'm making it sound like it was a 5-star match.
No, you're not. I see what you're saying.
It's just, I think it just needs to continue to be said that Bianca Belair is mm-hmm. just, she's going to continue to be successful.
Yeah.
She's also pretty new. Like, mm-hmm. not like brand new, but since being thrust in that position, she's really embraced it and she's mm-hmm. gotten better.
Uh-huh.
And she's great.
Mm-hmm.
She has great appeal. She's got a great look.
Yeah.
She's super athletic. She's fucking strong as shit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just, I yeah. mean, Bianca is just, she's something else, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next match,
it's kind of a letdown, honestly.
It's like the last two matches kind of let the air out of the whole night.
Yeah. I would say this match more than the main event.
Yeah.
Was my stinker of the weekend. From my expectations.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. So it's Finn Balor versus Edge, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a year in the making. They've had instances throughout the year to where yeah. Edge gained the upper hand, or Edge and Beth Phoenix. Like, that's the thing. So Edge won, but Edge has already kind of bested Finn at several times yeah. along the way.
Yeah.
So, like, what did this do for Edge?
My thing, it's hard. Anytime a Hall of Famer comes back, because Edge is a Hall of Famer.
I love Edge.
He came out of retirement from what was thought to be a career-ending neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved seeing him compete again.
Same. He's so good.
When you have someone who's a Hall of Famer who's so near the end
yeah.
of what they can do in the mm-hmm. ring.
Yeah.
They don't need a win like this.
No, especially since Finn, I mean, like I said before, Rhea has been the standout in the mm-hmm. Judgment Day.
Finn is supposed to be the leader, but Rhea is clearly overshadowing mm-hmm. him, as she should be.
Yeah.
So Finn needed something.
Yeah, like he needed this win.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the pace of the match was weird. Like, I expected more from these guys. I expected more from a Hell of a Cell match at WrestleMania.
They did something that I think, I don't know. They focused more on weapons inside mm-hmm, of the cell yeah. instead of the cell itself.
Yeah.
And maybe that's been just an evolution of Hell in a Cell matches, I guess. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I remember when, like, it was a big deal that something was happening inside Hell in a Cell. Like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. the cell itself was part of the match.
Yeah.
And this match didn't really play into that.
Yeah, there weren't any spots to where...
There's one spot with the kendo sticks in the corner.
Yeah, that was cool. It. That was innovative. Essentially, Edge pinning... Finn yeah. into the corner of the cell by using kendo sticks yeah. as this little like gate or prison.
Edge is one of the best minds that the bit, like, he was born to be a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like, he's such a just a ring general, a savvy veteran. He's got a mind, one of the most creative minds for the business
mm-hmm.
that you'll ever see, hear, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a passion. He's a legend. Is mm-hmm. a reason he's a Hall of Famer. Is a reason he has accomplished so much.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I expected more. Like, I mm-hmm. expected maybe, because at one point he tosses a ladder and like legit hits Finn in the head. And in wrestling, or at least in WWE. You're not allowed to bleed anymore. There's just too much risk involved and all that stuff.
Not intentionally.
Hard ways. Right. Happen. And I was going to say, like, yeah. if it happens, it's usually what's called hard way. Mm-hmm. And it's not due to like blading or anything yeah. to mm-hmm. like cause that to happen. It happens from you actually like getting hurt
mm-hmm.
from like an actual source of what you hit your head on, right. what you got hit with, whatever. It's natural. It happens mm-hmm. naturally from whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
Which is like the least articulate way you can explain hard way. But no, essentially, he gets hit in the head with a ladder and he starts bleeding. And so you have EMT, like legit EMTs mm-hmm. and medics in there, because that's part of their policy mm-hmm. now, is they will like stop or slow a match down so that they can check on that person,
yeah.
which disrupts the flow of a match.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, for the real people involved, it's good. But in terms of storytelling, it disrupts the flow of the match, and I think it kind of suffered from that. But I was thinking they were going to use that to their advantage. Mm-hmm. Like, the medics are there, and they leave the cell door open, and that allows for spots outside the cell. In our predictions, Jeff and I both had something alluding to the fact that maybe something's going to happen on top of the cell. Mm-hmm. Maybe
it's a very classic trope in a Hell in a Cell
match. Oh, yeah, for sure, which is why, like, all of the things were happening inside the cell, and we were kind of like, the pace was weird because we're expecting something to happen outside and come back inside. Mm-hmm. It felt incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of, took people out of it when they yeah. kind of slowed things down to check on Finn. And
yeah.
I think they did the best with the rest of what they could.
I don't know.
It should have been more intense than it was.
I think, and also, if you're gonna have Finn come out as his demon character,
yeah.
Which, Jeff, you mentioned you feel like they should retire. He should retire that.
He should retire it. When he first used it in NXT, it was unique.
Yeah.
When he was in New Japan, he would always come out with different body paint mm-hmm. and different, like, you know, homages to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when he came to NXT and he did this demon paint for the first time, it was like his first real big match, and it was really cool
mm-hmm.
And innovative, and he had these different mannerisms and he was more intense mm-hmm. and like, yeah. all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of faded away on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, during the buildup for this, Edge said he wanted Finn to bring out his demons.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Finn just didn't really do anything that different.
No.
So I feel like the demon should go away for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time Finn uses it should be like a real personal feud.
Yeah.
Really amp up the stakes of the demon coming out and really increase and crank up the intensity.
Yeah. Yeah. And like what you said there, they're at least when you bring that out, there's a purpose for it. There's this differentiation mm-hmm. in his style. It wasn't like that here. No. He wasn't wrestling any differently. His intensity wasn't cranked up. He used weapons exactly how Edge did. Yeah. He was matching Edge. Like there was no difference in there. And I said, you can present those differences, even if he does little nuanced things, even if you just show him have this like wild, like this wild eyed look on his face, and he's like showing out his tongue and like he's acting invincible. You know, hit him with kendo sticks and he's just like impervious to it. None of that. But the thing is, after he got hit with that ladder, and you know, the match showed he was bleeding. I don't know if they sutured it up real quick or did whatever. He wasn't bleeding the rest of the, like, at least nothing was showing on the mat the rest of the match. So I would think they probably were trying to cover for the fact that he was bleeding.
Actively trying to avoid.
And weren't showing him.
Yeah.
But his facials really could have helped there. Seeing the intensity on his face could have helped there. But we just saw Edge. There was this awkward camera positioning to where whoever was at the switchboard, the switching between cameras, just it kind of halted the storytelling and made it really awkward. Like it was kind of, I know we've used this already and kind of backtracked and said, you know, it's not a bad thing to say this was unremarkable. This was unremarkable, and it was a bad thing that it was unremarkable, because these are two people who can go hard and put on a great match, especially with this stipulation and on WrestleMania. And it did not deliver. It was not great. It was super underwhelming.
When, in my opinion, when Shane McMahon, and we can go into that.
Oh, yeah.
But when Shane McMahon has had a better Hell in the Cell match than you, that's rough.
Yeah.
I will say the best part, Edge's entrance was really cool.
It was.
It was
his cool. His ring gear was cool. He was wearing a cool mask. Mm-hmm. Before his proper entrance music, he had Flames and he had Slayer playing. Mm. And
I had a bonus prediction that Gangrel was going to accompany him, and I'm mad that that didn't happen.
He had a reference to the Brood. He had a Brood patch on his little ring jacket.
Yeah.
It kind of counts.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I will say also real quick, we haven't talked about the stage setup. It was
stage
was
great.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was just a real sight to see.
Yep. Before the main event, they did this the night before when Pat McAfee came out.
Yeah,
it was
issues an open challenge.
So essentially Miz being, you know, the target of, you know, somebody coming out squashing him. So this night he's chastising Snoop Dogg for making a match while Miz himself's wearing a $10,000 suit, and Snoop Dogg is like flipping about it and he's like, my bad. And he's like, you're bad, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, homeboy, when I said my bad, I meant my bad. And he points to the stage and Shane McMahon comes out, which nobody wanted.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. I would even say, and I like Pat McAfee, but nobody really, I don't even think anybody, like a lot of people really wanted Pat McAfee. I personally, when we were talking about who could come out, you know,
should have been LA Knight.
LA Knight. That dude is so over.
Yeah. Workers who could have come out, but you know, Pat was fine. But Shane coming out, absolutely nobody wanted that. He got a pop, but like...
But that's like Pavlovian at this...
Yeah.
You hear, here comes the money.
Yeah. Like, so and him and Miz have history in the last few years. But it's essentially, it was going to be Shane having, you know, one of those quick one-off squash matches, you know, with the Miz. Well, what had happened was...
Yeah.
So Shane comes in, does his stupid punching sequence, which looks fake as shit.
Yeah.
So he Irish whips Miz into the ropes, and they're going to do wrestling school 101 stuff to where Shane drops on his stomach. Miz is going to hop over and bounce off the other end of the ropes.
And, throw, drop down.
Yeah. You know, and he does that. Shane drops on his belly. Miz hits the ropes again, and Shane goes up for a leapfrog, comes back down, and his knee buckles.
Clearly fucks up his knee.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got hurt. I'm not
I'm not laughing
it might be
that
a
he
very
got hurt.
Serious injury.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, of course this happens. Mm-hmm. Like he's not a wrestler. Like he did a lot of cool shit in the Attitude Era, but the matches weren't the matches he had weren't supposed to be like collar and elbow tie up, mm-hmm. Irish whip, drop down, toss, like wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And in his past few matches, he's tried to do shit like that. And it's like, no, you're known for your crazy spots and like you being the chairman, Vince McMahon's son, but everyone respects you because you're willing to put your body on the line, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And he's tried to be like a wrestler, and this is what happens.
Yeah, I'm not laughing that he got hurt.
Right.
I'm laughing for the fact that he thinks that at his age, he can do stuff like this still.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it literally is like wrestling basics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Running the ropes, doing a lay down leapfrog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he... hurts himself. Like,
yep.
It's not funny, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially it's tight on the shots tight on the Miz. And clearly like this wasn't supposed to happen.
Wrong. But
Snoop Dogg thinking on his feet.
Yep.
Comes into the ring, you know, gives Miz, you know, essentially just like shoving his fists in his face, trying to make it look like he's giving him a right hook or like a straight right punch.
He's trying to make up for something that wasn't supposed to happen.
They're bringing Shane out of the ring. But Snoop has Miz in a prone position, hits his own version of the people's elbow, like the Rock did. And Snoop Dogg
saved the segment.
And Snoop Dogg saves the segment by beating the Miz in a match.
Yeah.
Silliness. But whatever.
Snoop Dogg's undefeated at WrestleMania, though.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final match of the night.
Most anticipated.
Most anticipated because the buildup was masterful. It was the main part of this end of the Bloodline story, which many who thought would be the end of the Bloodline story. Both men, amazing mic work.
Not one bad promo.
The story was compelling.
Yeah.
It just, all this build up to tonight. And everybody thought they knew how it was going to end. I mean, it would have made the most sense, even though, you know, Roman has carried the company for 3 years as the champion.
Done his
best work of his career. Cody comes back, and despite in the face of adversity, you know, comes back from WrestleMania last year, gets hurt, still wrestles at Hell in a Cell, out for a few months, comes back at Royal Rumble, wins the Rumble. His story is tailor-made. The big thing was, I have to finish my story. Because even before he got hurt, his thing was, I'm going to do what my father never did here to honor his legacy. And that's become the WWE champion, become a world champion here. That got halted. Cody comes back triumphantly at the Rumble. And all of this, you know, in the face of adversity, all this coming back is supposed to culminate at WrestleMania. And everybody felt like they knew what was going to happen. Yeah. We felt like we knew
it only makes sense.
It was almost a foregone conclusion that Cody was going to win because for months, reports have said Roman's wanting time off, which he deserves.
Yeah.
I think Roman should take time off.
Like, oh, it only makes sense. Cody's going to win. Roman takes his time off. At some point, Roman comes back, you know.
So my only desire for this match was, as compelling as the story has been before now, just tell a good story in the ring.
Which they did.
Yeah. It was an amazing story in the ring. False finishes that, outside looking in, maybe seemed a little too much to some crotchety old people. However, it worked in the world of the story being told.
Mm-hmm.
Cody, again, was facing, you know, odds against him with Solo Sikoa out there.
Yeah.
The Usos. Sikoa. Right. Yeah. Usos come back, but then you get Sammy and Kevin coming out. You know, and they fight them off. And Cody tributes to his dad, fights off Roman's attempts. Roman has this look on his face. So now Roman's like, what can I do to stop this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
Comes back
Samoan Spike.
Gives a Samoan Spike to Cody. And Roman pins him. One, two, three. And we were gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Not just us. I'm sure if you're listening to this and you were into it, you've been into the story and you've been hearing things, reading reports on everybody's opinion on it. We're not going to be the first opinion you hear on it.
Yeah.
Probably aren't even the best opinion here on it.
No. But we're going to tell it like we feel. I don't understand.
I was telling Steven before we started recording this that I hope that this is one of those things that in hindsight, whenever Roman's historic reign ends. I'm hoping that we can look at it with, you know, 2020 hindsight
mm-hmm.
and say, yeah, he shouldn't have lost at Mania.
Yeah.
They did the right thing by him losing at whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I trust Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I applaud them for sending the fans home upset. Because that's hard to do nowadays.
Yes. Yeah. Because a lot of fans are smart and they can kind of sense what's going to, you know, where a story's kind of going to go, what makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to swerve anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, Mania is usually the night where you send the fans home happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The good guy's been chasing the championship for months and months and months. And, you know, other pay-per-views, live events, whatever, you know, the bad guy wins and, you know, the fans go home upset. WrestleMania is supposed to be where the fans go home happy.
The ultimate feel-good story. This is the ultimate feel-good story.
Mm-hmm. So Cody losing, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm thinking if Cody's not the one to dethrone Roman, I am hoping maybe Gunther is.
Interesting.
It's I mean, you know,
I'm very
Triple H obviously has a lot of favor towards him. Favor towards Cody, but a lot of favor towards Gunther.
Gunther has been built up and Roman's beaten everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone that makes sense. You know, he's beaten Michael Cole ran through the list of everyone he's beaten in this 3-year reign. You know,
Cesaro,
he even said Daniel people that Bryan, aren't with
the company.
Yeah, anymore. People who are not with the company: Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso.
Yeah,
guys that I'm sure I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
It's been 3-year so reign.
So crazy.
Drew McIntyre.
People he's probably beaten twice too.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's beaten everybody, but he's never faced Gunther.
It would make a lot of it would be a different way of doing it. I just know for right now, considering just I don't know, you think you know storytelling and wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only wrestling fan who would have this thought, but I had the thought. What if Roman wins? And the only thing I can think of is how that feels is it's blue balls for wrestling fans.
Yeah.
You get them so worked up and you don't get the anticipated release. You don't get really a release at all. And you're still just kind of lingering there and you start to hurt and you start to wonder, where do I go from? Like not in this analogy anymore, but essentially with booking, you just ask yourself, first thing I thought was, where do you go from here?
Yeah. And and I guess if we're looking for silver linings, at least it's Roman Reigns. And he's been not just the biggest star in WWE the past 3 years, but the biggest star in professional wrestling. He's been like the biggest star and a legit superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, I like AEW, but you could consider that it's a big company, but those fans you can consider as the hardcore fans in general still feel like kind of a niche thing. So you could be like, oh, well, Kenny Omega or like Adam Page or the Young Bucks and stuff like that. But to a wider audience, unless you're a mega fan, unless you're a hardcore fan, you don't consider those people superstars. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns is a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if we're looking at silver linings, at least it's Roman Reigns. But at the same time, it's like everyone was certain that it was going to end tonight. We were going to get a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Graves even said at the close, he's like, Hollywood doesn't always give you happy endings.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. Like, I was just like, I sat there and I was like, I am really bummed out.
Yeah.
Like, because you're emotionally invested and excuse me, I'm going to cry.
Please don't cry.
Take it somewhere else. But like you legitimately sit there and like, not for dramatic effect, like my jaw was like was dropped. And I wasn't like, again, I wasn't sitting there for dramatic effect. Like, I was like, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. Not like my life is over, but like my brain, my rack, my brain is like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to do with this? Like, that can't just be it, mm-hmm. you know? So,
especially with the mindset you hear of like people who work yeah. in the business say, well, all of it calm, you know, payoffs are at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Big story payoffs are yeah. at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now, I know WWE's been notorious for going what the fans feel yeah. like is the wrong way with certain booking decisions
yeah.
With their payoffs at WrestleMania. But this was one that was like kind of tailor-made for that type of payoff. Yeah. But they swerve people.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's on them to justify it by, okay, yeah. how much bigger can you get than Roman potentially losing at WrestleMania
yeah.
and Cody winning at WrestleMania. What are you going to do from here? Yeah. Are you going to just wait for the next WrestleMania? If it's Gunther, how are you going to book Gunther? Because yeah. the way you booked Cody and Roman, mm-hmm. as far as that end of the bloodline stuff, you can't really get much better than that.
And they like, both nailed it. Completely nailed it.
Like, you're really going to have to pull out all the stops then on how you book mm-hmm. them now, because now people are going to start getting really tired of them. It's yeah. like, how much further mm-hmm. can you take the bloodline story before it just gets stale and they overstay their welcome mm-hmm. and it's not good anymore. People just want it to be over and kind of it becomes a blight on mm-hmm. an otherwise amazing story the last 3 years. Yeah.
Maybe Cody wants to put over Solo Sikoa. Like, because he clearly has a great look. He's yeah. got the Samoan, you know, not to use the storyline name, but this as a legit Samoan bloodline. Like, in Samoans in wrestling has a very deep familial structure yeah. and tradition and stuff like that.
And it's how much longer can they keep Cody waiting, though? Because that yeah. was the crux of his return
yeah.
was, mm-hmm. you know, his family, this new bloodline mm-hmm. that's going to be triumphant over the bloodline. And yeah. then, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Just, again, it just goes with my first thought was, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
Like, how much more can you do with yeah. the bloodline stuff?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Already, your other heel team, the Judgment Day,
yeah.
you're kind of cutting the nuts off of, but except for Rhea. Rhea's yeah. the best part. So
maybe, well, this is a chance for, and we already talked about Judgment Day stuff, but I just had the thought, maybe Rhea gives Finn shit and she's like, I'm the leader now because I'm the champ.
Mm-hmm. Then she spanks him like a bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the spankings come from.
Yeah.
But essentially it was one of the things where right before we sat down, I had to go to the bathroom. And when yeah. I was in the bathroom, I was like, I gotta not let this ending cloud how I ultimately thought about WrestleMania. And I'd say overall, a very good WrestleMania.
Agreed.
I would give this a WrestleMania an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Night 1 better than Night 2.
Night 1 was yeah. excellent. Yeah. Night 1 had...
Night 1 was perfect.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
It was great.
It wasn't all 5-star matches, yep. but everything in its place mm-hmm. felt really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Night 2, for the most part, was mm-hmm. solid. It was solid. It brought yeah. the average down, but it was solid.
The performances overall were good. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And even though it didn't end how everyone thought it would, Cody versus Roman was a very good match.
Very, very,
very, very good, really match. Good match. I would even say my pick for the best match of the night, considering the before the ending, mm-hmm. how the story was told, kept the ball rolling on yeah. how compelling it had been told out,
yeah.
Beforehand and yeah. outside of the ring.
Two masters of their craft at the mm-hmm. top of their game with the ultimate
yeah.
master of his craft, Paul yeah. Heyman,
mm-hmm. Ooh, I'm
directing
a Paul,
traffic.
Paul Heyman, if you hear this, I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah. He's just, the man cannot give a bad promo.
Yeah.
I called it tonight. I have a friend in New Jersey. Shout out to Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Lives very close to Philadelphia. Him and I are considering getting tickets. Paul, you
for next year's WrestleMania 40.
Yeah, yeah, it's a WrestleMania 40. My first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 20 that I saw live. So I hope to go to 20 years later. But Paul, Mr. Heyman,
Yeah.
You deserve to go in the Hall of Fame next year in Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Hall of Fame.
For sure.
Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to go along with what Corey Graves said, and to kind of add on to that with WrestleMania being Hollywood, just because the ending was different than what you thought doesn't mean that it was a bad movie.
No.
Same with this match.
Very good. Yeah.
The ending was different than what everybody thought doesn't mean it was a bad match. Excellent match.
Yeah.
One of the better main events in WrestleMania history. And this was one of the better WrestleManias in history. Mm-hmm. They've had strong showings the last few years with two nights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hope it keeps going.
I think it will.
Yes.
Brilliant decision.
Yes.
Brilliant decision.
And speaking of keeping going, we won't keep going here. We've gone over than what we our normal 1 time.
Yeah.
Almost 1 o'clock here when we're recording this.
In the morning.
Yeah. And if you like, I know just for this week, we're the Good Time Boys Wrestling Podcast.
Good Time Boys. Yeah. Good Time Boys.
If you'd like
a special occasion kind
of
thing.
If you'd like to hear more from the three of us in kind of a wrestling podcast setting, hopefully we can get kind of a feet, you know, boots on the ground,
let
a groundswell.
If, like,
if there is a interest in it, if you want to hear more, whether this is your first time listening to us or your 117th time listening to us, let us know, because we love talking wrestling, and I think it'd be very cool to a wrestling podcast.
Wrestling, in essence, has been the foundation of our friendship.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yep.
And whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly, it's something we'd love to do. So if you're interested in hearing more with wrestling, let us know. But whether or not it's wrestling or whatever else we talk about, Jeff, it's always a pleasure to have
you on.
Sir.
Always happy to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us. This is your 9th podcast guest appearance for us.
Is that a record or no?
No.
Jeremy is 10.
Well, no, Jeremy is 12.
Okay.
But
between our two podcasts.
Yeah, 10
is the next milestone. 10 will get you a trophy. So,
trophy?
Yes. Mm. You heard it here, folks. Jeff's getting a trophy next time. But Jeff, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you all for listening. Next week, we'll be back to being just the Radcast.
Yeah.
But until then, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.